historic moment tonight. The Berlin Wall can no longer contain the East German people. The wall, as we have known it since 1961, a sinister symbol of oppression, the wall has changed dramatically tonight.
I'm Peter Jennings in New York. Just a short while ago, astonishing news from East Germany, where the East German authorities have said, in essence, that the Berlin Wall doesn't mean anything anymore. The wall that the East Germans put up in 1961 to keep its people in will now be breached by anybody one who wants to leave.
In Berlin, this is definitely the end place to be. The sights and sounds, all the joy and the history in front of the Brandenburg Gate, with West Berliners partying literally on top of the Berlin Wall in front of the gate.
Yes, that was what it sounded like 20 years ago today. The big three on Television Network News, Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, and, of course, Dan Rather, their description of what happened as the wall fell. What a historic time. Who knew when the dominoes started to collapse, actually what it meant to so many people, some 20 years ago. Huge celebrations in that 20 years of unity. Thousands lining up all over just to watch the mile-long route. Speaking of dominoes, that's what they did. They had dominoes decorated all along what would have been the route of the old wall, and they just toppled them over one by one. It's sort of that domino reaction effect as you drop the dominoes to remember the crashing down and the fall of communism, the communist countries in Eastern Europe. And there were some moving speeches and events, and there were people from all over the world that came to watch, including former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who wasn't there, was the President of the United States, Barack Obama. There was a videotape message, of course, from the President, and former President Clinton was there. He paid tribute to Germany and other countries who really, let's face it, shed those communist binds. And it, as we look back to that moment, how much has changed when you think of the fall of those bricks and what it meant to the people on the other side. I went back and looked up a couple of things about the wall, and in doing that, I can remember hearing stories of people who were shot, killed, trying to escape, trying to get over to the other side. You know, 136 people were actually slaughtered trying to make their way across the border. The wall represented, no doubt, a huge split in the ideologies between the communist East and, of course, the democratic West. And it wasn't just a single country, but as I said, Europe. We're talking about all of Europe. And now how much has changed two decades later? And what is it that we fear now at this point? You know, it was communism. It was good versus evil. Now there's a different kind of evil that we're battling, that we talk about constantly on America Tonight, obviously, especially in light of things that have happened recently here in this country with homegrown terrorists and then fighting in Afghanistan, the Taliban, and trying to, disorganize and break up Al-Qaeda the best that we can, the elusive enemy called terrorism these days. And think back to that moment when the wall fell and what that was like. Imagine some of the people probably in their late 60s and 70s who can probably relive in their minds being, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and watching that come down, and the difference between the East and the West, and how much has changed as a result of that. We'll talk more about the wall and the wall falling and what's happened and what's happened since then, some of the new barriers as a result, obviously. But the Berlin Wall, how big was that? And, of course, Reagan's role in the diplomacy of all that. I would say that is a key event in world history. When we go back and look and we rank events, it certainly is up there, probably in the top 10, no doubt. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're also going to talk about the D.C. sniper who picked off 10 people. I was living back east then, and I can remember being in Maryland, and, of course, Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., the three areas where John Allen Muhammad hit. He did not get a stay of execution, of course, lobbying the Supreme Court, his lawyers. He'll be executed tomorrow night. Again, he'll be executed tomorrow night. We know what that entails. There'll be some family members on hand to watch as they mix the chemicals, et cetera, to end his life. It was the strangest thing. And when we talk about Major Hassan and what happened last week at Fort Hood, it's that question of why. Why did it happen? What was the motivation? Was it terrorism? Was it a combination of him not wanting to be shipped overseas? Well, John Allen Muhammad, as I said, I can remember living through that and how scary it was in that northeast quarter at the time, people talking about going to D.C., not going to D.C., trips canceled, all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, what was the motivation behind what he did? And still, to this day, we don't know what that motivation was. Some people think he was mentally ill. His wife, his former wife, thinks that he wanted to kill her, and then it got out of control, and that's what that was all about. But still, the motivating factor behind what he did, not known. So the D.C. sniper, we'll talk about those events, too. Currently, they're battening the hatches in some areas along that Gulf Coast region. And why? Because Hurricane Ida is headed in that direction. And, of course, when you talk about the storm and the storm outlook, the scary thing is you think of the possibility of the floods, and anybody who's grown up there who's been in that area, I think they get hurricane fatigue. So what happens is you huddle around the TV sets of the radio to get the very, very latest. Is the storm weakening? Is it coming a little bit closer to this region? It looks like right now, most likely Pensacola would be the landing spot for that storm Ida. However, the very, very latest that I have is it is weakening a little bit, and it should hit near Pensacola, Mobile, Alabama early on Tuesday. And at one time they were saying probably Category 2 hurricane, eased up a little bit. Let's hope that holds. 70-mile-an-hour winds versus 100-mile-an-hour winds. It's expected to decrease as it gets closer to landfall. As we know, the Louisiana governor declared a state of emergency ahead of the game, thinking that the National Guard would be readied. There were a couple of things that have already happened. The U.S. Coast Guard, one of their helicopters had to get two workers from an oil rig because it was slammed by the damage about 80 miles or so south of New Orleans. And there are, of course, those horrible mudslide deaths that have happened in El Salvador, and that's pinned on Ida as well. But, again, the concern going from El Salvador into the United States and the body of water in between, they've actually closed the port of Mobile, so stopping traffic on Mobile Bay and closing schools and offices, you know, government offices and whatnot, just to be sure, because it's the floods that they're very, very worried about. Coming up on the flip side, bullying. Are we a culture of mean now? Barbara Colarosa will join us to talk about being bullied, the bully themselves, and the bystander. What's it all mean for kids growing up these days from kindergarten through high school? Stay with us.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low-cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996. RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grapeseed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Times are tough, and many of us expect them to get worse. The warning signs have been everywhere for a very long time. Therefore, you have no excuse not to be prepared. If another Great Depression strikes America, how will you excuse your lack of preparation to your loved ones? There are numerous places you can buy freeze-dried food. PatriotFood.com is different because our dried food supplies are not sold in fancy tin cans. Our 25 varieties of bulk food are packaged in heavy-duty, food-grade plastic bags that will last 10 years. While our competition charges $3,000, we ship to you 135 pounds of great bulk food supplies for a fraction of that. Our company is owned by a famous patriot, Big John Lipscomb. I know you can trust him. He's my dad. PatriotFood.com is the wise choice for food insurance.
Unfortunately, we're hearing more sad stories about kids being bullied in school, and what does that mean, and how can you take a stand and help your children? What do you tell them to do as an adult, and how do we stop this cycle? It's just darn mean in so many areas. We've seen some of the videos, the beatings in school buses to the extreme, sometimes in the hallways and whatnot. Kate Delaney hanging with all of you coast to coast and everywhere in between. And, of course, bullying, punching, shoving, acts that physically hurt, bad rumors could lead to that as well, ganging up on others. And then there's cyberbullying, which is huge now. Mean texts and emails, instant messages. Remember the sad story about the girl who killed herself, and it turned out it was a woman down the street who was sending her the messages and breaking up and had set up a fake relationship via email. And there are sadly too many things like that happening, nasty pictures that are being posted and messages and whatnot. So as I said, joining us now, thrilled to be joined with Barbara Calarosa, The Bully, The Bullied, and The Bystander is the name of her book. She knows this well. She speaks to it and tries to help people cope and give suggestions as to what to do. She joins us from Toronto. Barbara, we know you're on the road. Thanks for the time.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
Let's talk about first, truly, I tried to give some examples of bullying, but what do you think we're seeing more now as far as what a bully would be?
Well, I think we're finally recognizing that it isn't the physical bullying that is the first nor the most common. Verbal bullying boys and girls do equally well, and it can pack a tremendous wallop, be an entree to the other two forms of bullying or combined with those two. Physical bullying is the least, and I'll guarantee you if any audience person has a child who's been physically bullied, I'll guarantee you that that child has been verbally and or relationally bullied first. If very few boys resort to physical bullying, although that is on the rise today. We see it a lot, but the verbal bullying and relational. Relational, girls don't tend to verbally, physically bully as much as boys, but they have in their social arsenal something far more powerful. and that shunning rumor, gossip, and exclusion. And they use that to the hilt today because, as you mentioned, they use the latest tools and technology called cyberbullying. There's nothing wrong with a cell phone or the internet. It's how it's used. It's used to be mean and cruel when it's bullying.
Well, and you know, if we talk about schools themselves, there are tons. If you go on the internet, you'll see it. There's policies all over the place, and even the government tried to put a task force together. But with the schools having these so-called anti-bullying policies, do they really work?
Well, I dealt with a situation last May after four young boys, 11 years old, throughout this country, killed themselves within a two-week period after being repeatedly targeted by their peers. And one of the superintendents very boldly said on TV, but we have an anti-bullying program and it works. Well, it's not working if kids can torment a child to the point where that child can't take it anymore at 11 years old. It's good to have three P's. Strong anti-bullying policies is only step one, where you define bullying for what it is, and that may sound very simple, but it's not. The majority of anti-bullying programs in our country, when I began to write the book, startled me because they had as their foundation conflict resolution, and bullying is not a conflict. Bullying is about mean and cruel. Conflicts are normal and natural and necessary. Our job as wise and caring adults, be we educators or parents or coaches or neighbors, is to teach our young people to handle those conflicts nonviolently. But they're going to happen, and they're very normal and natural. Mean and cruel is a learned behavior. You have to be taught to put somebody outside of your circle of caring, to treat them, as I call them, an it, to be less than the rest of us. So that's a learned behavior, and we have to first address it for what it is. And I identify it as a conscious, willful, deliberate, hostile activity intended to harm, where you get pleasure from somebody else's pain, whether it's verbal, physical, and or relational. The second P is strong anti-bullying procedures in place to deal with the bully, hold he or she accountable for what she's done, and help to reform the bully, but most importantly, to hold them accountable. Secondly, what procedures do we have in place to, one, keep a target safe, and two, give them skills to stand up for themselves? And then the third part of that second P is how do we handle all those bystanders? You know, there are three characters in this tragedy, the bully, the bullied, and the bystanders. William Burroughs, the English author, said it so beautifully, there are no innocent bystanders. What were they doing there in the first place? Most bystanders are helping the bullying along, whether they are the henchmen doing the bidding for the bully, actively supporting the bully, as we often see on the internet, other boys and girls cheering on the bullies harming somebody. Are they the passive bystanders where they laugh at somebody else's pain? They're not doing it, but they're laughing. Are they the disengaged onlookers who, by the way, can be you and me, Kate, who turn a blind eye and say, oh, it's just part of growing up. No, it's not. It's about mean and cruel. Or are they the potential witnesses? Those are the kids you and I raised to act with integrity and civility and compassion. But that child's afraid of the bully, afraid to step in, afraid they'll be next. Or do we have what I encourage in my rewriting and in my lectures, to raise young people who will stand up and speak out, who will step in and do the right thing when the burden's heavy? I mean, when that high-status middle school girl says to all the other girls, I don't like the new girl, and if you want to be in my group, you won't eat lunch with her either. I want your son or daughter to be that one to say, you know, that's mean, that's cruel, and have the courage to go sit next to the new girl at cost to themselves, because they'll probably get old Miss Goody Two-Shoes or you're next. And I want your son, when his friends say, look at that kid over there, different skin color, religion, or gender, or physical, or mental ability, let's go mess him up. I want your son to be the one to say no. When the burden's heavy, when his friends say, what are you, chicken? What are you, just like him? So how do you get kids to do that? That's the last P. Strong anti-bullying programs. And I'm not talking putting this program in school where once a week we talk about not bullying. I'm talking about using the stuff of everyday life to teach young people to treat one another with dignity and regard. I tell students, you don't have to like every kid in this classroom, but you must honor their humanity. You must not make them an it. they're a decent, caring human being, and you've got to treat them with dignity and regard.
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem from everything that I've heard. I mean, I think what people think, as you said, in their heads, like, oh, they're just kids. And I've heard that from other people. Oh, they're just kids. Kids will be kids. They're too soft. They're too this, da, 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 da. And there's so much of that bystanding, especially, that then it becomes that group mentality. Ooh, I'm shy. I'm in the fringe of this. I don't want to get involved. You probably that's one of the big ones.
It is. Actually, chances of your child being a bully or being targeted by one is far less than the chances of your child playing one of those many henchman roles or passive bystanders or cheering the bully on. And so we as parents and as educators, I'm both, have to be very much on the alert to teach young people about what you mentioned. And I call it the trap of comradeship, where when you get a group of kids together and they begin to taunt a child, it very quickly escalates into the shunning and rumor and gossip and exclusion, and then can progress to the physical bullying. But all three of those hurt a child deeply. It puts a hole in their soul, so to speak. And I want to teach young people that if you're the target of bullying, you don't have to succumb to the bullying, that you can stand up. You can be your own witness and resistor and defender. But we've got to recognize as adults that young people can't stop this alone, that we have to be willing to say, no more, not here, never. When we're driving carpool, when all the girls start to laugh about something mean and cruel that another girl has done to that girl in the lunchroom or the locker room or the playground, can we say, no, not here, that is mean, that is cruel, call it for what it is? And let kids know that they have an obligation, not necessarily to like that other girl, but to treat her with dignity and regard. It makes a difference when you can get locked into that trap of comradeship, or your daughter or son having the courage to stand up and speak out and step in may indeed stand alone, but often will not have others join them in a trap of comradeship, instead have others join them in a culture of kindness. And that's not sappy. It's not saying, oh, let's all be friends, but treating those other peers with some dignity and regard.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. Culture of kindness, I love it. Barbara Colarosa, the bully, the bullied, and the bystander, pick it up. Good stuff. Barbara, we'll talk to you again, hopefully, down the road.
Thank you very much
for joining
Kate.
Us. Coming up on the flip side, more on Fort Hood. Stay with us.
If you always thought an emu was a large, flightless Australian bird not much good for anything, you'd be, well, very wrong. Introducing ValleyViewEmus.com. Valley View Emus is a small, woman-owned family farm in Fenimore, Wisconsin, operated by Betty Lou Kaufman. Betty Lou assures you life gets better when you reap the health and wellness benefits of her high-quality emu products. A full line of the highest quality emu oils, lotions, craft products, pet care, and emu meats. The health benefits of emu oil alone will amaze you. Learn more about the complete line of emu products at valleyviewemus.com. And when you're ready, go right to the online shopping cart to place your order. Valley View Emus offers a 30-day money-back guarantee on all sales. Visit valleyviewemus.com. That's Valley, VIEWEMUS.com. Or call Betty Lou toll-free at 877-436-8537. Valley View Emus, where farm to fresh means quality and care.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Coming up, we have birthdays, news you can abuse, and this day in history. But until then, a couple of nooks and crannies to fill in for you across America. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney back on the stretch side of this one. And I'll tell you, coming around that final turn, Wednesday is Veterans Day. And this was interesting. The president launched an effort at the beginning of this week that he says is going to turn the government into a big-time employer of military vets and possibly provide encouragement for other employers to do the same thing. One can only hope. That's what I always worry about when people come back and have nothing to go to. So here's what the deal is. The president signs this executive order that creates the Council on Veterans Employment. It's part of this overall initiative to push federal agencies to recruit and train the guys that come back, or any military veterans, frankly, and the idea is to get them into the federal workforce and help the veteran adjust to working in a civilian environment. So what Obama's saying is the feds are going to hire tens of thousands of workers in the next coming years because of the number of retirements expected with the whole baby boomer federal worker amount of people. And so we're talking about 480,000 veterans working for the government as of this past last September. That was the number, right? So they're saying about one-fourth of the 1.9 million member workforce. And the idea is to encourage that a little bit more. And the same thing with the private employers. Let's hope, if anything, how many initiatives are there that this actually would do something and push some people into helping more vets, because one thing it does do, it requires the Office of Personnel Management to develop some kind of a plan to make that initiative, put it in place, so it can't be completely empty. They have to be able to encourage that. And I'm going to say that's a good thing, especially when Veterans Day is this week. So it's a perfect time, I think, for that to happen. This was an odd thing. The man who confessed to shooting the Kansas abortion provider was in court. He had such a stone stare glaze about him. He was unapologetic and really just stood there. He said that he killed the doctor to protect unborn children. We understand somebody with a passionate cause, right? But to take it to that extreme, sorry, no justification for murdering a fellow human being in this way. And it was Dr. Tiller who was certainly on the hit list for a lot of people. I think at one point, and maybe he was still doing it, was wearing flak jackets, but he was in church when he was gunned down. And he said that this is the quote from Scott Roeder, who was the gunman. And he said, because of the fact preborn children's lives were in imminent danger, this was the action I chose. I want to make sure that the focus is, of course, obviously on the preborn children and the necessity to defend them, defending innocent life. That's what prompted me. It's pretty simple. He's charged with one count of first-degree murder in Tiller's death, two counts, of course, of aggravated assault for allegedly threatening two ushers who tried to stop him back in May. And he pled not guilty and is scheduled to go on trial in January. He said he doesn't have any regrets, zero, and that's it. And he says, because I've been told so far at least four women have changed their minds as a result of what I did. Okay, yeah, whatever. I mean, here's the thing about this. He does this, and there's a replacement doctor anyway. So, you know, Tiller was the target of so many protests because he performed abortions for a very long time in Wichita. And he was, and this is the thing, he was one of the few late-term abortion guys, doctors that would do that. So he was shot in both arms in the 90s. His clinic was bombed in 86. It's not that he knew he wasn't, he certainly was a target. But again, he was replaced anyway, and so the justification for that is ridiculous. And sadly, he had that no remorse statement. And again, at what cost for him to stand there in that stony silence and go into a church and shatter everybody else's lives around them? Luckily, nobody else was hit. I mean, he clearly went up and he pointed the gun, but still, imagine living with that, with seeing that happen in a church, no less. Unbelievable. All right, here's a couple of other things as far as mixing it up. I was telling you earlier about Ida and that tropical storm. And the latest is now we're seeing a lot of squalls right now as I'm sitting here speaking ahead of this tropical storm. And we saw them earlier in the day, too. You got heavy rain still coming down and everybody hunkering down, so to speak, or battening those hatches in Alabama, in that Gulf Shores area. They're riding out the high winds, obviously. And then what you always have to worry about is the flooding. The flooding is in that area can just be absolutely brutal. And therefore, that's why the warnings were issued so far ahead of time. I know I've talked about this before, and I think, in fact, even in these hours I mentioned it. If you talk to enough people in Alabama and Florida and Mississippi and in Louisiana, they'll tell you about a thing called hurricane fatigue. They hear about, oof, this is the big one. This is the one that's going to hit this year, and here's our first touchdown on the shore, and it's expected to do this. And there's sometimes it's a laissez-faire approach to it. So in a way, I thought it was a good thing for the governor of Louisiana to declare the state of emergency, just because then you've got the National Guard on alert should that happen. And the levees, let's face it, in New Orleans are still not up to par, even with the rebuilding, et cetera, and the restructuring with the engineering. Still, there is the possibility of floods. So I think it's a good thing to have them on alert so we don't run into a problem like that again. And so be it if the storm turns out to just be heavy, heavy rain and some flooding. I think better to be ahead of the curve as a result, especially in that area of what's happened before. Well, the time is ticking. I've said this now for over a month and a half on the decision as to what to do in Afghanistan. I heard a long time ago from somebody I knew at the Pentagon, a source at the Pentagon, that there was no way the 40,000 that McChrystal wanted, that was not what was going to happen. Now there is a conflicting report that something's changed and perhaps there would be a total much higher than originally was leaked out, maybe 36,000, maybe almost the whole thing that McChrystal wants. If McChrystal gets the 40,000, then there's no, it's a clear cut as we're here to stay and this is what we're going to do. So the White House is saying that's not true. The leak that, you know, it might be 40,000 or any other amount isn't true. The president hasn't made a decision about the levels or other aspects of what the strategy is, even though somebody is starting to leak some more information. It's not clear. There's no clear cut decision here at this point. Now, Wednesday, which is Veterans Day, once again, there's a big meeting with the foreign policy and military teams, but I don't think an Afghanistan decision comes out of that one. Probably won't happen until the end of November after the trip from Asia. That's what at least they're saying at this point. So there's still more of a waiting game here going on with Afghanistan. And, you know, will we see the 40 in the 6 months or so? What will the security conditions be? And what about the NATO allies? Because it's a lot of the allies obviously not contributing as many, nowhere near the forces of the United States. And even at the urging of, geez, can you step it up a little bit more? It doesn't look as though the other allies involved in this conflict are trying to get the Taliban are ponying up to the table with more. It's very, very unlikely. So no final plans at this point, and let's hope. I mean, it's either you're either kicking it all or you're not kicking it all, or not kicking it at all. I don't think you can do this one halfway in between. Would be even that much more disastrous. And think of October as being the worst month, and those 18 bodies coming back, a couple of them DEA agents, but so many soldiers. Again, whatever this counterinsurgency strategy is, if you're trying to retake territory from the Taliban and holding that while Americans work and rebuild and improve services for the population, then get to it. Whatever the robust, you know, push for the troops that McChrystal has, beefing them up that way so that there's more protection and to protect the cities and the towns, then do it. Because I don't think there's a middle ground here. You have to be either all in or not. You just can't be a little bit in. There's no toe in the water or, geez, we're halfway there. 8 years is a very long time. I saw a documentary. If any of you get HBO, click on your documentaries, rather, and watch. It's about 50-some minutes long, and it's called Section 60. You want to hear or see a sad little documentary, but really let it hit home. It's Section 60 is Arlington National Cemetery, and it's where the soldiers who are buried, who want to be buried there, not wherever they're from, the families want that, they can bury them there from Iraq and Afghanistan. And you just see, of course, the rows and rows of white. But hearing the stories and how they died and then the families going to see them and placing the flowers and just, again, I think it brings home what's happened in Afghanistan lately. So bring it on or don't bring it at all. That's it. AmericaTonight.net. You can flip me your thoughts on Afghanistan because it's always a running theme here on America Tonight. Lightening the Load coming up next. The birthdays this day in history and news you can abuse.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you've got mold, you've got a problem. But if you have Moldzyme, you have a solution. Everyone at one time or another will encounter mold in their homes. It's unsightly and can affect your health. Moldzyme from EcoDiscoveries is the only safe and effective solution for cleaning mold and mildew and eliminating odor. Moldzyme is safe for any surface. Wood, concrete, tile, stucco, wallpaper, vinyl, or aluminum siding, painted surfaces, and more both inside and outside your home.
I use Moldzyme in my bathroom, basement, garage, and deck. Everywhere I see mold, it's magic in a bottle.
Moldzyme is non-toxic, safe for the environment, your family, pets, and plants. Contains no chlorine, bleach, ammonia, or nasty smell. Plus, it's easy to order. Call toll-free 866-767-2832 or go to moldzyme.com. That's 866-767-2832 or moldzyme.com. That's moldzyme.com. Use promo code RADIO for 25% off your order from Eco Discoveries. Moldzyme, now safe, has an effective side.
What's so crazy about not starving?
To cover yourself and your family in the event of accidents or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance.
But what about food insurance?
Water and food are vital to human survival.
So what's so crazy about not starving?
Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks' worth of great-tasting food and clean water. Most Foodinsurance.com meals are freeze-dried,
which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years.
Foodinsurance.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99.
The low cost is just one reason to get Foodinsurance.com.
Need more reasons? Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to Foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. That's 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. Get protected at Foodinsurance.com.
And away we go, right here from the get-go. News you can abuse. Silly, crazy things that have happened elsewhere and here in the good old U.S. You know, there's a lot of elation over the Yankees winning the World Series. Certainly not from my corner. As many of you know, I'm a Philadelphia, lifelong Philadelphia Phillies fan. But in New York City, he had some office workers. They have that Canyon of Heroes. It's kind of a cool thing where confetti flies down all over the place. And some New York City office workers got a little carried away during the Yankee parade on Friday. So they started, they didn't have any confetti ready. Duh. And so they started throwing files and documents out windows when they couldn't get their hands on any of the confetti because they wanted to participate. They wanted to, they got caught up in everything that was happening. So this is interesting. An auditor, Damian Sallow, who attended the parade honoring, of course, the champs, told the New York Post he found all sorts of personal financial documents in the mountains of shredded paper that was thrown out of the skyscrapers when the players went up Broadway, including pay stubs, banking information, law firm memos, and even some court files. The founder of one of the financial firms, Alan Saroff, says his company reprimanded one of the employees for throwing records out the window that could have been, that should have been shredded. And of course, the whole ticker tape parade is a tradition in New York. I'm surprised he wasn't more than reprimanded. How would you feel if you were a client and some legal memos regarding whatever was going on in your life were right there in the street? Wow. I don't know. Hey, you know what? Donovan Madsen will test him, our technical maestro of this show. Have you ever been one of those overzealous people go crazy at some parade? Were you one of those crazy parade goers blowing the horn too loudly, imbibing a little bit too much, throwing that confetti rather hard at whoever was going by in whatever float?
I would never descend to being that unruly.
I didn't think so. But is that not a crazy story that some fools were throwing out documents from their workplace? What were they thinking?
At least shred them first.
I know! At least shred them. Again, pay stubs? That'd be nice. Your pay stub with all your information is right there in the street. Oh, I wouldn't be happy if I were a client of any of those firms and I read that story. That'd make me just a little bit uncomfortable. Hey, speaking of uncomfortable, I doubt very much that Donovan or I, and I don't know about any of you, could ever be a world-class eater. And when I'm talking about world-class eater, it's such a big deal now, this competitive eating circuit. And Joey Chestnut is very, very famous, and he's very dominant in what they're calling the sport of competitive eating. So he won the first ever Mark Toronto's Meatball Eating Championship in Las Vegas on Sunday. Check this out. I'm always fascinated by this. He gobbled 50 meatballs in 10 minutes at the Rio. And the 6.25 pounds was a new world record, earned him first place prize of $1,500. Oh, I'm sorry. If I have to eat 50 meatballs in 10 minutes and get $1,500, no way. I'm not down with that. So Deep Dish Bertolini, that was the guy who came in second, had just one meatball behind Chestnut. And then this is somebody we've talked to before. We'll have to have her back on the show. I swear she weighs like 105 pounds. Sonia Thomas ate 42 meatballs. She was third. Mm-hmm. Now Chestnut, he is the man. He is the king. His resume, when you talk about eating everybody else under the table, includes pizza and hot dogs and chicken wings. But I just, you know, hey, all of us at some point in our life, I'm sure women listening to the show, guys listening, younger, older, doesn't matter. At some point, I call it grubbing. At some point, you were starving and you ate like a historical amount of pieces of pizza for what you would normally eat, or ate XYZ bowls of cereal. But 50 meatballs, I just could not go there. All right, speaking of not going there, something else I probably wouldn't partake in, or never have anyway, but there is an art form to it, some say, but police in Florida say a graffiti artist who ran out of paint midway through a spray paint creation left a note to potential critics to explain the unfinished work, and this was in Palm Bay. And what the words were, the artist painted the words, "ran out of purple" on the white concrete wall. The note was next to an incomplete, very bright purple piece that read "solo." So the artist would probably likely face a criminal mischief charge if they are apprehended. The damage is about $200. It's funny how graffiti in the right places is considered art, in the wrong places is going to land you maybe in jail or certainly paying a fine or whatever. In Philadelphia, they have a part of the city where artists, graffiti artists, I'll call them, have done some really incredible things. And it's very interesting to see the unbelievable, and they are like works of art, almost like canvas, over some other things that were probably not too great that they painted on top of. The key is keeping it where it looks more like a work of art and not something that looks very, very trashy, let's say. Okay, we move from graffiti and the note to this day in history. There are 51 days left in the year. Yep, it is the 10th of November. In 1775, the U.S. Marines were organized under authority of the Continental Congress. Also on this date, in 1919, this is interesting, as we hail from Minneapolis, our studio, of course, in the Genesis Communications Network, the American Legion opened its first national convention in Minneapolis in 1919. Here's another one for you. In 1938, Kate Smith first sang Irving Berlin's God Bless America on her CBS radio program. And I grew up outside of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Flyers. She was in the 70s, their good luck charm. She would sing God Bless America, and they won back-to-back Stanley Cups. In 1969, I love this, the children's educational program Sesame Street, I watched that as a kid, made its debut on public television, or later PBS, National Education Television. Boy, that's a long-running hit, isn't it? In 1975, the ore-hauling ship, the SS Edmund Fitzgerald and its crew of 29, mysteriously sank during a storm in Lake Superior with the loss of all on board. There's a song written about that. In 10 years ago, President Clinton decided to delay and shorten a trip to Greece in reaction to growing security concerns and, of course, the prospect of violent anti-American demonstrations. Investigators say the flight data recorder from the Egypt Air Flight 990 showed things were normal until the autopilot, and this is 10 years ago, mysteriously disconnected, and the Boeing 767 began what appeared to be a controlled descent toward the Atlantic Ocean. Always sad when that happens. 1 year ago, President George W. Bush and his wife, Laura, welcomed Barack and Michelle Obama to the White House for a nearly two-hour visit. The president and president-elect conferred in the Oval Office while the current and future first ladies talked in the White House residence. Boy, I can't believe that that was a year ago. Could we have some birthday music, please, Donovan? Even Donovan, who doesn't have a television, will recognize some of the names on the birthday list this time around. Blues singer Bobby Rush, 75. Don't know if he knows him. I do. American Indian activist Russell Means. I know he knows him. Is 70 years old. Country singer Donna Fargo is 68. Senator Saxby Chambliss, Republican from Georgia, 66 years old. Also celebrating a birthday from Emerson, Lake & Palmer, the group rocker. Greg Lake is 62 years old. Actor Jack Scalia is 59 years old. He's a big soap opera, Lifetime movie guy. Actress Mackenzie Phillips, who just made news with her shocking book about sexual relations with her father, turned 50 years old. Actress Vanessa Angel is 46 years old. Comedian Tommy Davidson is 46 years old. Country singer Chris Cagle is 41. Actor-comedian Tracy Morgan, I think he's hilarious, is 41 years old. He's on 30 Rock. From Grey's Anatomy, actress Ellen Pompeo is 40 years old. Rapper-producer Warren G is 39. If you're celebrating a birthday, make it count. Hope you have a good one. Gonna leave you with this one. Men get opinions as boys learn to spell by reiteration chiefly. You love that.
I'm not back in 5 minutes. Just wait longer.